our series on going deeper. God is. God is. And how many enjoyed Glenn Davis, Charlie Self, last week Joy Krajicek? Great speakers, right? Just really, really bringing strong, strong ministry to us. I'm so grateful for the amount of excellent teachers we have available to us. Well, the reason why they're talking about God is, God is, God is, because how are you supposed to trust a God that you don't know? How are you supposed to put your faith in a God that you maybe don't trust his nature? I know there's a lot of people in my life. Some of them I trust, some of them I don't. Now, if I don't trust them, it doesn't mean I don't love them. It just means I know that I can't always count on them. I know that if they say they'll be there at 8, that I better just wait till 8:30. Or they say they're going to help me out, then maybe they will, maybe they won't. Some of us might feel that way about God. Well, God said something, but I haven't really found that he is trustworthy. Well, that's not true. God is always trustworthy. God is always faithful. Even when difficult times happen, we can look to God, and when we pass those times, look back and see God was always working. He was always there. So that's why this series throughout the summer, that we need to be able to trust God to touch us, to feed us, to nurture us, to lead us, to guide us. And we got to know who he is in order to trust him. And so today we've landed on the topic that God is creator. God is creator. And I'm really thankful for those that are here that brought your children to kids camp this last weekend. I'm sure grateful that you're here, and I'm glad you've come. If God is creator, he's the owner. He's the sovereign. Have you created anything? My wife likes to paint. She starts with that blank canvas, and when she paints, that painting belongs to her. It's designed by her. The right colors, the right amount of colors, the right pattern, how it all works and how it all fits together, that didn't happen except for her mind, her skill, and her willingness to do it. That painting belongs to her until she decides to give it away. This world belongs to God. This world came out of his mind, came out of his heart, came out of his skill, came out of his willingness to create. And he did. And he created us perfectly. He's the last word. He knows how everything works. If you ask Sandra how this painting came to be, she'll be able to tell you, well, I started with that base coat and that certain hue. And then I added this next level of color. And then I added this next level. And then I maybe did work the brush in such and such a way. And that's how I made all of this happen. Because you see, there's design that went into the beauty that's created. How many know we live in a beautiful world? Just travel. Just go on some hikes. Just visit our local California coastline. Go to Yosemite. Go to the Napa Valley. Go to the Carmel coastline. What design, what beauty. And it's really hard for me to get my head around someone who could look at all of that and say, accidental. Now, maybe you can possibly get your head around, you know, some Big Bang theory that nature was created. But then just take a shot at looking at people and the uniqueness of people. And how our bodies work and how they heal themselves and how we reproduce and how all the intricacies about our bodies down to the most minutest cell. It's hard for me to think accident when I know the design that's in our bodies. And then we look beyond that to the universe. Now, if anything was just subtly off, that our earth would go spinning into oblivion. But it doesn't, because it's designed. God is our designer. He's our creator. He owns us. I'm so thankful that that is a God who's not distant, but he's knowable. I can know him. So this morning I want to talk about this God who's a creator and talk about how he's created everything, how God is recreating everything, and how everything one day will be perfectly recreated again. God has created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. I've alluded to a bit of the wonder of God's creator, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on this particular one, that I'm just going to take it as a given, although I know many may have a struggle with getting their head around, you know, evolutionary theories and big bangs and what science says that's counter to God's word. Here's what I know, and in the words of our good friend, Dr. Frank Turek, he's written a book with this title that says, "I don't have enough faith to be an atheist." It's a great title with a lot of truth packed into it. That it takes more faith to believe that this awesome creation and the awesome humanity that lives on it happened accidentally. More faith than it takes to believe in a designer. If we're accidental, we're meaningless. If we're accidental, there's no way to determine right from wrong. If we're accidental, that means we developed accidentally. If we developed accidentally, that means our mind and our thinking developed accidentally. If our thinking is accidental, we don't know anything really. How can we be sure when everything started by chance? But that's not the case, is it? We know things. We know some things to be true, and most of all, we know a God who is true, who came to this earth and gave us his life. When God created, he made everything good. Thinking back to that original creation, nothing that God made was less than good. Nothing. He said everything was good that he made in the natural world, but when he came to you and I, he didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. How many of us today think of ourselves and think very good? To be honest, if we each had a chance to share, probably be just a few. Because there's all these doubts and insecurities and struggles and anxieties and inferiorities and fears that plague us. The same things that Melissa and Teresa shared about. Those I can't do it God. I'm not enough God. I'm not able God. All those things, and we think we're not good. And we look at humanity in the world, and there's all the crime and the violence and the fighting and the separation. And we look at the world, we say, how can it be good, God? Well, in the start, God made everything good. That was his design. God made everything true. That when he made the world, nothing in this world was false. Everything was true. Don't you know that when there's truth that reigns, it's easy to live? Have you ever lied and then been forced to try to cover up that lie? And then you have to cover up that one and cover up that one and cover up that one. Anybody ever been there? You get caught right in that wild hamster wheel of lying. It's complicated to live in lies. It's really complicated. But to live in truth, it's easy. Because you don't have to think about covering up the truth. You're just telling the truth. When God created everything, he created it true. Everything was true. And it was beautiful. God just said one thing, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden. It was that easy, that simple. And because everything was good and everything was true, man and woman in the garden knew who they were. And there was no shame. They ran around naked together in the garden having a ball. Working and loving and sharing and enjoying the creation. And it was beautiful. And men and women didn't have inferiority. They didn't have fear. Adam wasn't worrying what Eve was thinking about him. Neither was Eve worrying that Adam was thinking about some other woman. Now you think, well, Pastor, there was only two of them there. But God did tell them to be fruitful and multiply. But they didn't even reach that level yet before they messed it up. They were just able to live in the truth. Their knowledge about themselves was true. And they were comfortable. And they had no shame. They knew who they were. And the creation was connected and at rest. The man and the woman we're able to work the soil. And not in the toilsome work that we experience today, in the beautiful, purposeful, creative type work. And they enjoyed that. And they were able to commune with the animals and commune with nature. Their men and women weren't afraid of some wild beast coming in and attacking them. All of creation was connected. And it was beautiful. And it was right. Man with man, nature with nature, man with nature, and all interconnected. And it was restful. When's the last time you felt truly rested? And I'm not talking about a good night's sleep. I'm talking about free from any kind of stress or anxiety in your life. I just get in my car and I'm immediately stressed. Especially on a morning as I drive from my house exactly 1 mile to the church. But when the school system is in, you got Monta Vista, you got Kennedy, and you got Lincoln, and the parents are insane. They just are. And I drive 1 mile and I'm stressed getting to the office. Or I turn on the radio and I hear about the latest, you know, bad thing that happened in the world. Not in creation. God rested after he made everything, and then he invited the man and the woman into his rest. But that got messed up. They got messed because of a lie. A lie started it all. One lie. One lie. How many know that one lie can really wreck your life? Just one. The man and the woman were confronted by the serpent, Satan. And Satan's one lie was, God is holding out on you. God is not giving you everything you deserve. He knows if you eat of that tree that he told you not to eat from, you're going to be just as smart as him. You're going to be just as wise as him, and you're going to know things you don't know. And that lie triggered a temptation. Before the lie, no temptation. After the lie, intense temptation. Temptation so great that they would violate God's loving command, and they would sin against him by taking the fruit that he said not to eat from. And as soon as that happened, God's word was made to be true. Said, you'll surely die. Now, they didn't drop over and die, but their relationship died, their connection with each other died, their connection with man and the nature died, and their connection with God died. Everything was separated. Man and the woman were separated. Adam, what did you do? It wasn't me, it was her. Separation. Well, we got to cover you up. Let's get an animal and take the animal's life and cover you with the skin. Separation. Initially, they went and hid, hiding from God, hoping he wouldn't notice that they had made leaf coverings to cover their nakedness. And God says, why are you hiding, and why do you think you're naked? Separation. Immediate separation because of that sin. And that's what lies do. Lies lead to temptation. Temptation leads to sin. Sin leads to separation. And everything got warped. And we're living in that warped state today. Church, what lies have you been listening to? Teresa and Melissa were honest enough to tell you about some of theirs. And how many, when they were saying theirs, could you relate to them? Not good enough. Not able enough. It's going to fail. It's not going to go well. I didn't plan well enough. How could it? Just on and on and on and on. The constant barrage of lying into our hearts and spirits when God is trying to tell you, you're good. I made you good. You don't have to live this way. I'm here for you. I will guide you. I will comfort you. I will walk with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Instead of that, we hear not good enough, not well enough, not talented enough, not skilled enough, not good looking enough, not rich enough, not owning enough, not, where God is saying, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Over and over and over again. These lies usually come in three forms. What you have, what you do, and what people think about you. Think about all the things that you believe about yourself that are not true. And it boils down to those three, really. I don't have enough. or I don't have good enough, or I don't have like that other person has. I'm not talented enough, what I do. I'm not skilled enough. I don't have those skills, or I don't have that charisma, or what people think about me. I don't wrestle with the first two. That last one, that kills me. That what people think about me, that can just about chop my knees out from under me almost every time. But thank God, I'm learning to live in what he's telling me. I'm learning that as soon as I feel that separation from the truth, I go to God and I say, God, I'm feeling that way again. I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that disappointment. I'm feeling that not good enough. I'm feeling that comparison thing and what people think. And God then pours in his beautiful affirmation. And he says, you're good. Let me tell you what's true. And the Holy Spirit can sweep through. Well, God is not creating anything new, but he's recreating everything because of that warpness, because of what the lie did to the temptation, to the separation. He's recreating that. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Are we like, do we get born again out of mother? No, we get born again, born in spirit, recreated, because we were warped, and now we're being made anew, again, good again, right again, truthful again, secure again, that distortedness being repaired. What this verse talks about is return to normal. You see, the goodness, the truth, the rightness, that's normal. That's what's supposed to be normal, but it's not anymore. Now normal is living under that shadow of the false. And the world doesn't know what to do with people who aren't living under that shadow. Sin-warped life is being recreated back to good. Without Jesus' transforming power, we had no choice not to sin. You can't not. You have to sin. It's your sin nature. It's who you are. It's what you do. But when Jesus comes into your life, now you have a choice. Now you can say no, not in your own power, but in his power. As you surrender that to God, say, God, I'm feeling that temptation. And that temptation is based on some kind of false something. I want to take that because I don't feel I have enough. I want to be that because I don't feel I am enough. I want to perform because I don't want people to think badly of me. And on it goes. Same cycle. Why would the devil change his tactics when they work so well on us? He's working on that recreating that sin-warped life. He's making you good again. Let me just tell you, do you know you're good? You're good. God made you beautiful. He made you right. Now, sin has made a mess of stuff, no doubt. Some of your lives are just, they're hard. It's hard. But God made you good. He wants to return you to that place of goodness. The lies are being recreated back to truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. It will. The truth will set you free. You can live a life of freedom when you live in the truth. Temptation that started with a lie. You're not enough. It's being exposed. And now you realize, wait a minute. God made me great. Then why am I not thinking I'm great? I must be listening to some other voice. And I don't like that other voice. How many in this room like it when somebody tells you you're not good? Think back to when you were a child and maybe heard that for the first time. When somebody told you, you're a loser. You're never going to amount to anything. I remember hearing some of those voices. I remember one voice in particular. That voice came from somebody that was influential in my life. And that voice said, I'm never going to forgive you for what you did. Sometimes that voice comes back and I think that God is saying that to me. He's not. But I hear that. In my heart and in my soul. You've heard those voices, haven't you? Some voice that you've heard before, and somehow it reached inside your soul. It got in there and you thought, that might be true. Just like Adam did, just like the woman did. Ooh, that might be true. And then when you gave into it, you realized it was a lie, but too late. Now you're wrecked. God's recreating that. God wants to recreate your life so that you don't have to believe those things anymore. You can identify them. You can surrender them honestly to the Lord. He can then refill you with his truth. And then you can go on not having to live under the death of that lie. Are you following this morning? He's recreating you. Taking that lie away. The lie popped up for me this week. And you know, I've shared with you so many times how I just tend to crave recognition. And I was sitting in a meeting with people that I respect, and they're very influential in my life. And I said something, and what I said seemed to resonate in the room. And immediately when I saw that what I said got a positive reaction, inside, I started hearing those voices of you want them just to think you're great, don't you? You just really want them to think that you're so smart and that you're so wise and that you're so and you're so and you're so. And I thought, where is that coming from? Where is that? Who is that talking in my head? Well, it's me. And it's the lies I've heard before. I want praise. I want recognition. I want notice. And I have to remember my identity as the invisible influence. I found myself sitting in that meeting, murmuring in my mind, saying, stay invisible, stay invisible, stay invisible, stay invisible. And I got to do that. I have got to practice that all the time, unless I slide into the false. And it's so easy to slide back there. And as soon as I got my head back together, I could say, oh, Lord, it's you in this room that's doing the wonder. Thank you, God. And I can return to him in worship then for what he's doing versus wanting the credit for what he's doing. And there is such a big difference between those things. Men and women who don't know who they are, God is restoring our identities. People all over this world, we just got back from Costa Rica, and their identity problem is the same as ours. Oh man, I saw so many little teenage moms without husbands and without fathers for their children. One particular girl, name is Maria, 17. She walked in to youth camp with her baby. She'd been abused when she was younger, and because of that abuse, she had craved male attention, and she had a boyfriend. She got pregnant, and he didn't want a baby, and so he left her. Now, little 17-year-old Maria is bringing her baby to youth camp because she wants to come and learn about Jesus. And she walked in like a mature woman. She's got her baby stuff. She's got her child on her hip. She's walking in, and she's mom. That's what she's got to do. But then some of our women took her baby for her so that she could be a girl again. And oh man, what a joy. But sadness at the same time. To watch Maria jump and run and skip and lead cheers and giggle. Because she's just a girl. She's just a girl. But because of the lies, because of the false, because of all that, she's forced to live a life that was premature. Now she's a responsible mom. So she's impressive. But God's got his hand on her life. She's going to be fine. Her little child's going to be fine. But so many of those false identities in other cultures, no different than ours. The creation separated is being restored to connection. To me, this is the most powerful part of what happened when that initial sin brought so much chaos, but the separation, because it plagues us. It plagues us. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your sin is separated from you and your God. Not only does it separate us from us and our God, it separates us from each other. How much fighting do we have to endure? How many wars have to be fought? One country wearing one uniform, another country wearing another uniform, and it's us against them. Separation. That's based from a lie. Ethnic groups and all the racial tensions, at least the tensions we're being told, are so rampant. Sometimes I see them, sometimes I don't. I'm sure happy for our church. I love our church. Looks like heaven because there's so many different colors in here. But out in the world, there's separation, political separation, all kinds of separation, comparison separation, competitive separation, jealousy separation. We're separate. Fear separation. I don't want them to know me. I don't want to say it because they'll laugh at me. I don't want to be real because they won't accept me. This constant separation. Starting to become more and more aware that as soon as I feel that separation, I know that there's some lie that's got a hold of my mind at that moment. Rather than living in connection with whoever I'm with, wherever I am. One of those lies I used to listen to a lot was, this is not entertaining me. I'll endure it to get to what I really want. And you know what? I've missed so many moments in the moment because my separation was, it's all about me. This is not what I want to do. And it caused separation in my heart from what was going on. Now I'm working real hard at being present because that's not separation. That's connected. And when I'm present, it's amazing the moments I'm receiving because my brain just isn't somewhere else. You can be present in the body but be separated in the mind. You know that, right? You can be present in the body and separated in the emotions. Jesus was never that. He was always with us right now at that moment, fully invested. That's why people love Jesus so much. Except for those who wanted separation. Well, God's redemption through Christ leads us to all truth, which sets us free. And he says, enter into my rest. Come rest with me. The initial creation was God's word. Let there be, and it was. The recreation is also God's word. But John 1:1 and John 1:14 says that that recreation, or that word, came in flesh. And the recreation comes through Jesus, the Word in flesh. If you don't know Jesus today, he's your answer. He's your answer. He's the answer for the lies that you say to yourself in your heart, because he'll give you truth. He's the answer for the temptations that plague all of us. He's the answer for the disconnectedness we feel, and he's the answer for the false identity you live in, because he's the recreator, our Lord Jesus. Now one day everything will be recreated. Everything will be done. It'll be just as it should be. Let me just read you one scripture as I close. Revelation 21:1-4 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's recreation. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, judged and put aside to have a new one. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming up out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard in a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The old order is gone. The order of lies, the order of temptation, the order of false identity, the order of disconnectedness, that order is passed away. The new order of truth, the new order of goodness, the new order of true identity, the new order of security in our lives, the new order of eternal connection, God with us with God, we with each other, us with nature, nature with us, as it should be, but better, because now we know in full the love of God that will give everything to sacrifice for us. That new order is coming. And in fact, it is now here in part. The kingdom of God is here amongst those who believe. It will be in fullness when we're gathered together, all the saints, past, present, future, in the finished kingdom of God. But right now, you can enter the kingdom of God. Right now. 47 years ago, when I was a 15-year-old, I entered the kingdom of God. Yeah, there's been ups and downs. Yeah, there's been beliefs and lies and all that that comes with it. But I stand here telling you today, God is good. God is true. God loves you and has a new name for you. A name given only by Him to you. And God is with you. And He's so, so desperate that you know that and that you'll receive it. Because when you do, you're in the kingdom of God. And that's why He died for us. I'm going to pray for us this morning in hopes that some of you can make a step to stop listening to the lies and come into His beautiful, beautiful promise, the promise of life and life abundantly. That's why that's the name of our church. We believe that. It's not a title, it's a belief. God came to give us abundant life. After I pray, we're going to linger a little bit. There will be some questions on the screens. Those questions are not limited. You can just listen to God. And I found it's really nice. Doesn't matter what spiritual level you're at. Just to say, God, I really want to know from you. I want to know what you think. Would you talk to me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to do? You can ask God that as you pray. But I first would like to once again throw out the invitation. God is here. God came to the cross to recreate you. He wants to give you life again, free you from all the false, all the bad, all the confusion. Why not? I mean, really, what have you got to lose? You want to stay in the crazy life you're living now? Jesus came. He stretched out His arms. He was pierced. And He bled so that we can have life, life abundantly. I hope you'll today make a decision to follow Him. I want to pray for us. And you might want to pray in your heart as I pray for you and with you. And let's surrender all the false to God today, shall we? Because He's our Creator. He created and He's recreating. And one day we'll live in the blessed fruitfulness of all that. Father, thank You so much for what You've done for us. And I pray for every person in this room, every teenager, every adult man, adult woman. God, the lies are plentiful. The false is plentiful. The temptations and the struggles and the false ideas that spin in our minds are constant. But Lord, You came to set us free. You came to recreate that which was warped by sin. And I pray in Jesus' name, anyone in this room or anyone online listening, Lord, they have not yet made their decision to receive what You're offering, that today would be their day. Why not today? Why not start living the abundant life today? Living free of lie, living free of false, living free of disconnected life, separated. We could be living with You, with each other. You want to make that decision today, you might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I need You. I ask You to come into my life and I want to follow You. For I do believe You are the way the truth, and the life. You are my recreator, calling me to be born again, not in flesh, but in spirit. I don't know what all that means, Lord, and I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is that the way I'm living now isn't working. So I'm turning to you today. I'm asking you, tell me what you want me to know. Come into my life, and I'll follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessed promises. Others of you maybe have wandered from Jesus and you're far from him. It's been a while. You know him, but yet he feels so distant. You might pray something like this, Lord Jesus, I know you've been with me and I know your grace is good and your mercy is sure. But I've wandered from you and I want to come back. Lord, I trust today that you're not angry at me, that you put all that anger on the cross. I trust, Lord, that you're willing to open your arms, receive me back, just like the prodigal's father received the son back. Lord, I want to come back today. I want to start living in the truth again. Thank you for receiving me. Lord, we love you. I thank you, Jesus, for this morning, for all that we've heard and done. We just thank you for your word in Jesus' name. There'll be elders willing to pray for you, one on each corner of the front of the sanctuary. If you have a particular need and would like prayer, come be with one of them. Don't go away nervous or worried. That's disconnection. That's separation. Come and be with. Let them pray with you. Especially if you prayed the prayer to receive Jesus today, come and pray with one of them. They'll guide you and give you some next steps. Maybe you decided to renew your relationship with Jesus. Come. Pray with someone. Otherwise, let's linger a little while. The questions will be up on the screens. We do this every Sunday because we don't believe it's right to hear from God and then just bolt and go about our day. That's good to sit and let it soak. Let what you heard and felt soak in. And ask God to talk to you. He's a loving Father. And listen to what he says. So let's linger today. If you've got to go, don't feel judged. We won't judge you if you've got to leave. So if you do, go in God's grace and go in his love. But let's spend some time with Jesus. If you got to go, have a great week. We'll see you next week.